May God teach you the meaning of that name, Emmanuel, God with us.
Good morning, everyone. If I had any sense, I'd stop right now and just say Happy New Year, because I think that message says it all. And so as I talk this morning about this particular event, this particular celebration that we do every year, I want you to reflect back on what you saw and just try and relate it to what you do and what the Lord is doing all the time that you're celebrating the new year. It's sort of an extension of Christmas, isn't it? We couldn't have the new year without celebrating Christmas first. It just seems to go hand in hand. But when I say I wish you all a happy new year, just what did I mean by that? To most people, it's just a casual phrase. It's just something that you say instead of good morning or how's your lawn? Did you get your snow shoveled this morning? It's the same sort of thing. Didn't give it a lot of thought. I don't really care. Or do I? Hard to tell. But it's just a greeting. It's something that we repeat over and over and over again each and every year. And why do we do it each and every year? Why do we celebrate a new year? I think on another level, though, it's a picture of how mankind falls short when they don't have Jesus in their life. It's a reflection of how we failed during the past 365 days. How we hope that today will somehow be a new start. And when I say that it follows right after the Christmas season, you know, maybe that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the birth of our Lord and Savior, a new start. The new year is a new start. And we look forward, hoping that in the next 365 days, we're going to get it right. But have you ever thought of the differences between the upper level of what Jesus and the Lord sees and what you see as a new year? Here's someone you all know. This is what she says about the new year. Cheers to a new year and another chance for us to get it right. Now, she's got billions of dollars. She can hopefully get most things right. But what she gets right is stuff. She buys the best of stuff. She has the best of stuff. She controls the best of stuff. She is the best of stuff in some people's eyes. But it's only stuff. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." So we don't have to worry about what we did last year. We don't have to worry about what's coming up this year, because the Lord never changes. The love that He had for you last year, He's going to have for you next year, and He has for you today. He doesn't take time off. He doesn't change the way He thinks. He just does. Unlike Oprah Winfrey, who suggests that we need to try it again because we didn't get it right the first time, or the second time, or the third time. The Lord says He'll be patient and wait for us to come to Him. He got it right the first time, and He's not going to change. And that's something to reflect upon, too. He got it right the first time. When was the last time you got something right the first time? Think about that. He will not allow us to be consumed by our iniquities, and He will save us from ourselves. And that says something, too. Let's just examine the new year a little bit and see what it's all about. And there's so much that we could talk about in the new year. I talked about it a little bit. We sang about it in the songs, about the past, present, and future, that type of thing. Happy New Year is a greeting that we say and we hear. And we're going to hear it for the next couple of weeks, of course, because we're going to have Ukrainian Christmas, and then we're going to have Chinese New Year's, and we're going to have, you know, and on and on and on it goes. So, in modern day America, although we celebrated on the 1st of January, it wasn't always that way. The celebration of the New Year is one of the oldest of all holidays. It was first observed in ancient Babylon about 4,000 years ago. In the years around 2000 BC, Babylonians celebrated the beginning of a new year on what is now March 23rd, although they themselves had no written calendar. So you wonder how they come up with that date. But late March is actually a logical choice for the beginning of a new year. It's a time of year that spring begins and new crops are planted. Think about that, a new year. We celebrate a new year hoping that we can plant some new seeds and that they'll grow. Perhaps unlike the ones that we planted last year and died. January 1st, on the other hand, has no astronomical or agricultural benefit or significance. Purely arbitrary. It's just a date. The Babylonian New Year celebration lasted for 11 days. Each day had its own particular mode of celebration. But it was safe to say that modern New Year's Eve festivities pale in comparison to what the Babylonians did. The Romans continued to observe the New Year on March 25th, but their calendar was continually tampered by various emperors, and so the calendar was soon out of sync with the sun. That's how they determined where the New Year was where was the sun in the sky. To the Lord, the sun was always there. It's in the same place it's always been. But mankind seems to see it differently. In order to set the calendar straight, the Roman Senate in 153 BC declared January 1st to be the beginning of a new year. But tampering continued until Julius Caesar in 46 BC established it, and it became known as the Julian calendar. It again established January 1st as the new year, but in order to synchronize the calendar with the sun, Caesar had to let the previous year drag on for 445 days to bring it into sync with the sun. What would have happened if the Lord had to drag on some of the things that he had done because they weren't in sync with the sun? He just doesn't make those mistakes. He got it right the first time. We're still trying to figure it out. Although in the first centuries AD, the Romans continued celebrating the New Year, the early Catholic Church condemned the festivities as paganism. But as Christianity became more widespread, the early church began to have its own religious observance concurrent with that date and with those celebrations. And the New Year's Day became no different. New Year's is still observed as the feast of Christ's circumcision by some denominations. And as I said, even here in Timmins, we're going to celebrate the New Year in a couple of days, and then we're going to celebrate it later on in January as the Chinese celebrate in this community. We always see a big write-up in the Timmins Daily Press, and if you have any Chinese friends, you hear about it. How come it's not January 1st? The Chinese New Year is celebrated in many countries around the world, and it's the first day of the lunar calendar, and it is corrected for solar every 3 years. So it's not the same time. It'd be pretty hard for you to set your clock on it, because it's going to change. It normally falls between January 20th and February 20th, and it is celebrated with food, family, lucky money, usually in a red envelope. I wonder if that's their version of Santa Claus. I don't know. Lion and dragon dances, drums, fireworks, firecrackers, and other types of entertainment fill the streets on this day, and we've seen that here in Timmins. That's the celebration of the New Year. The Vietnam New Year is very, very similar to that, and it's called the Tet. And so you might have heard of the Tet Offensive during the Vietnam War. That occurred on the New Year. Okay, and that is also somewhere between January 20th and February 20th. And it is called the Feast of the First Morning by the Vietnamese. The Tamils celebrate New Year April 13th or 14th. Traditionally, it's celebrated in parts of Tamil to mark the event of the sun entering Aries. So for those of you who are into the zodiac, that's where the New Year comes. Islamic is the first day of the year observed by the day of Muharram, the first month of the Islamic calendar. So it's different. Ethiopia, here's a really different one. It's celebrated on September 11th or 12th, based on the leap year. Ethiopia uses its own ancient calendar. Some say it has a connection with the Julian calendar. The new year is the end of the summer season, where you see natural flowers everywhere in the country of Ethiopia. That's their New Year. We can't even get it right. We can't even agree on what day it is. Here's an event we celebrate as a world, but we don't even do it on the same day. We don't even do it together. We can't get it right. We've tried to establish the day, and we're still fighting. We're still making changes. It reminds me a lot of the municipalities and what they go through to open their stores on Boxing Day. Some communities do, some communities don't. We all think it's the right way to do things, but we haven't got there yet. It's a good thing that the Lord got there the first time. Or we might still just be in the plan. How about Mark Twain? We all know Mark Twain. He said, New Year's Day is now the accepted time to make your regular, annual, good resolutions. Next week, you can begin paving hell with them as usual. He's already conceded failure before he began. Do you do that as mankind? Do you do that as a creation of the Lord? Do you make a New Year's resolution knowing full well that probably by the 15th of January, maybe the end of February, you won't be holding up to it? That you'll have to confess to people around you and to the Lord that you failed? Was the New Year's resolution even worthwhile? And all the while Mark Twain is talking about this, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There is no change. He doesn't change the color of the day. He doesn't change where the day hits in the calendar. Today is today and tomorrow is tomorrow. And he's not going to make the two intercede with one another. There is no change. He got it right the first time. So it sort of begs the question, why do we bother celebrating New Year's? The Lord's got it right. Why aren't we just following the Lord? New Year's makes us think in terms of past, present, and future. We talked about that already. It's a period of 365 days to us. To others, it's a period of 445 days, or it's a period that starts in September, or it starts in March. But it's basically a period where we look at those three facets, the past, the present, and the future. We look at what we had, at what we want, and today we do our planning, and that's where the New Year's resolution comes in. But I'm still convinced that God sees it differently. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. So why is it that last year, when you got that gift that you asked for, that this year coming up, that gift isn't good enough? You want something better. You want something more. You want something bigger. What's wrong with that? God gave you a gift, and it's as big as it's going to get. And it's not going to change. It's not going to wilt. It's not going to rust. It's not going to fade away. In fact, it's not going away, whether you like it or not. That gift is always there for the taking, never changing, never wavering, with no conditions. There's that gift. And yet you want something more. I think of myself as a self-made man. I'm confident in my ability to do things. I'm secure in my own world. And I'm full of pride like everybody else. I think I've done pretty well for myself. I have a wonderful wife of more than 33 years. I have children who love me and respect me. And six dogs that shadow me like you wouldn't believe. But I have it good. Oh yes, and I have a granddaughter. Did I mention that? A little commercialism, I apologize. Not really. But that's what makes me human. These types of events, these types of relationships are important to me. And I think they're important to you, obviously with a different granddaughter or a different dog, or a different wife, I hope. But they're important to you. They are relationships. And that's what God wants. He wants a relationship with you. Life is good, and yet I want more. Why? I don't need any more. Look at the size of me. If I ate any more, I would explode. And yet the Lord, as Dave talked about this morning, this turkey coma thing, I feel like I've had a turkey coma thing for months now. And yet I continue to eat. Why? I know why, but that's a whole other sermon. But I want more. This is where we do a reflection on what we did last year. I look back on the past, and it can't be a new year unless we've experienced an old year. Think about that. If you want something else, it means that something you had wasn't good enough. If you want something else, it means that you didn't have enough of what you had before. Think of that. And most of those things are material things. I've got 2 4-wheel ATVs. Would I like a third one? Not really, but I'd like to replace the two I got because they're a little old. I've got 3 vehicles sitting in my yard. There's only Judy and I. Why? Because I look after my youngest daughter and I supply her with the vehicle. In spite of myself, in spite of knowing that that's maybe not the thing to do, that's what I do. So do I need that third vehicle? No. Do I want that third vehicle? Yes. Would I like a new third vehicle? Yes. Maybe I'd just like to get my daughter out of the house. That might be the other alternative. But I want more. Don't we all? Don't we all sit and think of what if? You know, we have children when we're young, and then we say, oh, just wait till I get to that age where they can all move out. It doesn't happen. They all move back in, and they bring somebody else with them, as is shown by my 6 dogs. 2 cats, 2 goldfish, etc., etc. I had a washer and a dryer, a fridge and a stove and a freezer. Now I've got a new stove, a new fridge, a new wash machine. But the old ones died, so there was a need for those. But did anyone get a new Kobo, a new laptop, a new widescreen TV? Any toys like that? I'm sure you did. Did you need them? No, but you wanted them. But what good are they? You can't take them with you. When the Lord calls you up, we can put them in the hole with you. But I'm pretty sure that they're not going to rise like you do. I'm pretty sure if we dig that hole up 100 years from now, that laptop is going to be still sitting there. The box around it is going to be rotten, but the laptop is going to be just as it was when you put it in. Of no value to you. None. When I put it in the hole with you, there's not much point in bragging to your neighbor. Oh, you betcha, I buried him with the best laptop the world could buy. It's not going to get you anywhere. Then we also think of the past. We think of people that we have lost. We think of close, close friends. And this assembly has lost some very, very dear people in the past year. And I'm not going to mention any names. I think we all have been touched by one or more of these events. And it's a time of sadness. But it doesn't have to be. Because the Lord told us last January the 1st, when we started this New Year's celebration last year, that if we only came to Him, if we only truly loved Him, asked Him into our heart, if we only truly believed in Him, we wouldn't have to worry about where we were going to be after we died. That this was just going to be a short vacation compared to where we were going. And that our relatives could be doing the same. Our friends could be doing the same. And so that's what we're here for. We're here to glorify the Lord. We're here to pass on that message to all of those who don't know Him. And then you won't have to cry when someone dies. I had a strange thing happen to me, I think it was last year, around this time. My daughter had a little rodent of some sort. I don't know what it was, hamster, I think it was. Yeah, and the stupid little thing died on us. And I thought, how could you do that at this time of the year? You know, how could you do that? I got nowhere to bury you. This is a hamster. And I'm having emotional thoughts about a hamster. That's pretty bad. But it was a cute little thing, and it was loving, and I'm sorry, it meant something. Will I see that hamster in heaven? I got some maybes, no, yes, I don't know. But I sure hope that I'm going to see my mother, who passed away this year. That I'm going to see Len. That I'm going to see Sally. Jim's mom. Others who have passed away. I sure hope that they're going to be up there when I come up there, and they're going to be standing there with open arms to receive me. That's what I hope it's all about. Maybe that's my insecurity and my lack of periodic faith in the Lord, that I go through these times, I don't know. But then I also think about, with a little bit of smugness and pride, about how successful I was last year in certain things, hoping that this year I could be more successful. But once again, I've lost sight of what's important, because it's not about me. When they bury me, if they put up a headstone, what's on that headstone isn't going to be any more important than what's on your headstone, or the one that's there that's been there for 150 years. Whatever's on Charles Spurgeon's headstone isn't any more important than what we're going to put on yours, because it doesn't mean a thing. It's not important at all. It's not even significant. In the Lord's eyes, He's so far past that. All you got to do is catch up. Oscar Wilde says that good resolutions are simply checks that men draw on a bank account where they have no account. And isn't that what God's gift is all about? He gave you a gift that you can't possibly pay for. But He's put so much in that bank account that you couldn't possibly spend it. And all He's asking you is to come and get it. Come and get it. That's what He wants. Oscar Wilde maybe didn't understand that, but that's what he's talking about here. If he saw it from God's viewpoint, from that upper level, he would realize that that's what he meant. I suspect that Oscar Wilde probably just meant that we live above and beyond our means. For Oscar Wilde and Oprah Winfrey and people like that who have more money than they know what to do with, that's pretty hard to do. But what about the person who's on the street and hasn't got enough money for a cup of coffee? What bank account does he draw on? What is his new year going to be like? Is it any different than last year? It can certainly be different if he has Christ in his heart. So we have no right to think of anything better, to want anything more than we have now, but we do. Have you achieved everything that you wanted to achieve? I haven't. I'm not sure that there's enough time. Maybe I don't have enough drive. Maybe I don't have enough ability. I don't know. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to try. And so that's what we do at New Year's. We sit down and we say, okay, what haven't I accomplished? What do I really want to accomplish? And how can I do it? But the one question that we don't ask is, why do I want to accomplish it? Who does it benefit? Is my focus in the right place? Because if I'm working to make more money so that I can buy those new ATVs or replace that car that's in my driveway, I've missed the point. Because those things are going to rot. They're going to rust. They're of no value. But if I focus on the things that are important, and that's my relationship with Christ, then all else falls into place. And I don't have to celebrate New Year's. I don't have to celebrate new day or new month or new week, because I know it's in God's plans. And if I trust in Him and believe in Him, what He has planned out for me will happen. Here's a few different phrases on New Year and that type of thing. Those who gave thee a body furnished it with weakness. But he who gave thee soul armed thee with resolution. Employ it, and thou art wise. Be wise, and thou art happy. That's an interesting saying from a person that lived 1,300 years before Christ. I don't think he's talking about arming thee with a New Year's resolution. I think he's talking about arming you with the resolution to do what is right. And it's not what is right in your body, which is what was given to you by your mother and father, but it's what was right in your soul, which what was given to you by your heavenly Father. Employ that and you will be wise. Be wise and you will be happy because the Lord is protecting you. Jonathan Edwards, this was interesting, the fact that he attended Yale just before he turned 13. So he must have been some sort of a whiz kid. And he's got two resolutions. One is that he is going to live for God, and the second is, if no one else does, he's still going to do that. That's a resolution that I'm not sure each of us could keep, but I pray that that's our resolution for each and every one of us, and that we're able to take it out of here and pass it on to others around us who don't know that. We can go on for quite some time about the new year and about how it does all of these different and wonderful things, and I've got another one here. The object of New Year is not that we should have a new year. It is that we should have a new soul and a new nose, new feet, new backbone, new ears, new eyes. Unless a particular man made New Year's resolutions, he would make no resolutions. Unless a man starts afresh about things, he will certainly do nothing effective. Unless a man starts on the strange assumption that he has never existed before, it is quite certain that he will never exist afterwards. Unless a man be born again, he shall by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a mouthful. He's saying a lot of things in there, but I think what he's saying is that things of this world don't add up to much. That your focus needs to be on the one who created you. On the one who exists today, who existed yesterday, who existed before you existed, and will exist long after you have passed from this world. We talked about this morning in Breaking of Bread, Zephaniah 3:2, speaking of Jerusalem, but it does relate to us. It says that she obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to the Lord. Isn't it funny how we get things wrong? This was on the top of one of my devotionals about a week ago. It'll be familiar to some. It says that I thank God for his not guilty verdict as he looks upon him and pardons me. There's that gift that you received. Some think they received the gift that they always wanted a few days ago on the 25th. In my case, I received the gift in 1996. Others received it at different times throughout their life. When you received that gift, how precious did you think it was? Have you treated it with respect since then? I remember getting a train set when I was young. I don't have it anymore. I'm pretty sure it's in the dump. It used to be in the basement of my sister's place, and then it was over at my brother's. Maybe my cousins played with it, I'm not sure. It got scratched up. The engine got broken. It didn't work anymore. So there's a gift that I didn't look after very well. But I have things that were given to me 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that are still in working condition. And yet at the same time, this gift that the Lord has given me, I've turned away from it. I've hurt it. I've sinned against it. I've ignored it. I've disrespected it. I've fallen short before it. And yet the Lord still stands there in front of me with his hands held out saying, here I am. Here's the gift. Thank you. I'm not taking it away. As we close, we need to remember that God doesn't want your New Year's resolution. He simply wants you to keep the old one. That covenant that you made with the Lord, whenever it was, that's when your new year began. You can look back on all the old things that happened. But as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new. You are the new year. You are the New Year's resolution for the Lord. You can be your own New Year's resolution for yourself by simply doing this, by simply keeping the old resolution. I want to go back and I want to close by listening one more time to that sermon on Christmas Eve in 1854 by Charles Spurgeon, because I think it reflects exactly where we need to be.
You the meaning of that name, Emmanuel, God with us.
Let's just close in prayer. Lord, how can we possibly follow that short little excerpt from Charles Spurgeon in 1854? Lord, three simple words, God with us. We don't understand it, Lord. We don't appreciate it. We don't revere it. We certainly don't honor it the way we should. Lord, I simply pray that for each and every one that is here, that we will understand that our new year began the day that we come to know you. That all that we have, Lord, is because of you. Even those things, Lord, that will rot and rust away, those things came from you. You provide us, Lord, with our needs and our wants and even more. And yet, Lord, in return, we do unspeakable things to you, Lord. And yet you love us. You are unconditional, all-knowing, all-seeing, unchanging. Lord, we thank you and we pray that today and tomorrow and the day after, that our faith in you will become stronger, that we will focus on you more and more each day, that we will keep a prayer vigilance with you each and every moment, that we will reflect upon the important things in our life, will put you first. And we will realize, Lord, that you don't want a new New Year's resolution. You simply want us to keep the old one. Lord, we thank you for your love towards us. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters and the safety of this place. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son that we focus on at this time of the year, perhaps more than any other, with the exception of his crucifixion and rising from the dead. And Lord, we also thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent in your Son's place to dwell in us, to lead us, to guide us, to chastise us, Lord, when we were on the wrong path. But Lord, most of all, to remind us that you are there, that you are with us, that we are not alone, and that it is not all for naught. Lord, we simply thank you for all that you have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.